episode 412 of the Comic Source Podcast. It's New Comics Wednesday for books coming out July 18th, 2018. This is probably going to be a little bit of a shorter episode. I didn't have a whole lot of time to read books this weekend, so I didn't get to everything that I wanted to talk about. Plus, I feel like the Wednesday of San Diego Comic-Con is... it's a strange time for comics, right? Because everybody's so focused on San Diego and the announcements and what's upcoming that you kind of miss what's like right there released the day before Comic-Con or the same day as preview night, however you want to think of it. So it's always kind of weird. You know, a lot of people are traveling to go to Comic-Con and they don't get their books. But then there's, you know, the vast majority of comic readers who don't go to Comic-Con. And all of a sudden their focus is still on it a lot of times, or they're paying attention to the news. So yeah, I just find it to be strange. It's almost like a lame duck kind of situation sort of. So I don't mind that this is going to be a little bit of a shorter episode. I'm going to talk about five books, and then I will do the regular rundown where, I give you some of the other titles I think you should be, looking out for. So let me go ahead and dive in. I'm going to start with The Brave and the Bold, Batman and Wonder Woman, by Liam Sharp, with colors by Romulo Fajardo Jr. and letters by Troy Pateri. So this is the final issue. It's issue number 6, the last issue in the miniseries. That being said, this does not feel like an ending. It does not feel like the story got wrapped up with a nice, neat bow. It actually feels like a beginning. And at the end of the book, we get the ominous words of end of book one. So I really hope that Liam gets to come back to this title and these characters and this kind of grand, dark fairy tale mythology. Irish mythology, is that how you say it? Or Gaelic mythology, perhaps. I think there's a lot to it. It's a very rich world, and I feel like it's... the rest of the story needs to be told, basically. Like, I want to know what happens. Like, I want to know where the story goes from here, where the characters go from here, because Liam has created such an interesting and different and unique... sort of world, and he's rendered it so beautifully that I feel like I can almost smell it when I'm looking at the pages, right? The loamy grass and the old growth trees of Tir na n'Og. It's an incredible job that he's done, and I've talked about this book in the past on the podcast, and I've said that I feel like there's not enough people talking about it, and I'm not sure why, because it's absolutely incredible. I mean, if Liam wasn't telling a good story and it was just the art, even that would make it worth picking up, because Liam's art is absolutely incredible. I mean, I've said many times about his art that it transcends comic art, and it approaches a level of being fine art. Right, it's so beautiful, so much detail. It feels so visceral as well, without getting like muddy or kind of over the top, or leaving that losing that beauty that it has, and that fine detail and the really fine line work. So, but it's not just the artwork that's incredible; it's the story as well. It's so seamlessly intertwined into Gaelic folklore and myth, that it just makes for a really interesting story. So I hope you guys all had a chance to pick it up. If you didn't, I highly suggest picking up The Brave and the Bold, Batman and Wonder Woman in trade paperback. I don't think you'll be disappointed. It's really an interesting story. But as I said, this does feel like a beginning of something bigger rather than an ending. And so that kind of threw me a little bit. I wasn't sure what to expect, and I think it's okay if we do indeed get a second volume. If we don't, then I'm going to feel a little bit cheated, and it's going to lessen the quality of the overall body of work in Batman Brave and the Bold, as far as the writing and the pacing and the plotting go. But if it turns out that we do get the second volume, then again, I think you'll be glad that you read this one, because I can see Liam expanding on this story very, very easily. All right, let's see. The next book I have up that I want to talk about is Euthanauts, number one. This is an IDW book, and been hearing about it for quite a while. Wasn't necessarily sure what to expect, and now I've read it, and I'm still not really sure what to expect. It was very interesting. I'll say that I just didn't quite know how to take it. So as the name of the book implies, you know, euthanaut as opposed to astronaut, you know, youth standing for death, you know, E-U-T-H. So that's kind of what the focus of the story is all about. And I should give the creative team. It's written by Tinney Howard with art and cover by Nick Robles. We've got a cover by Mark Buckingham and a cover by regular series artist Nick Robles. So as I said, this is all about exploring death. Issue one's very much a setup issue. We've met a couple of euthanauts, if you will, people who are kind of fascinated with death and understand the ability to kind of hover between life and death in sort of a limbo. Tinney introduces some interesting ideas about how you can keep your consciousness and keep yourself together in that realm. And the things that she says makes a lot of sense. I mean, obviously there's no way for anybody to know what it's like to actually die and then come back to life. So that being said, I'm very interested to see where the story goes from here. I'm interested to see what the relationship is between these two characters who seemingly meet at random, but based on kind of the fascination with death of one of them and the other one who was about to die, you wonder if there wasn't something a little more, I don't want to say sinister, but more than meets the eye, right? Like, you're about to die, you know about euthanauts, you know that there's people that can cross over and back. Why wouldn't you want to try to recruit somebody with that talent, right? You know you're about to die, but you have that person that can cross back and forth, and they can kind of be your anchor. And so in that way, you still are able to communicate. So it makes total sense to me, and as I said, it's a really good start, and I can't wait to see where the story goes from here. All right, let's see. What is up next? Next, I'm going to talk about Gideon Falls, number 5. This is my book of the week. It was really, really incredible. Let me give the creative team really quickly here. It's written by Jeff Lemire, art by Andrea Sorrentino, and the colors are by Dave Stewart. So issue 5, and I think this is the first issue since they made the announcement about Gideon Falls being picked up as a TV show. But the story doesn't miss a beat. There are some, I don't want to say shocking revelations because it is a horror comic, but and those revelations didn't necessarily have to do with, you know, somebody popping out of a hiding place or finding out that you have like a demon inside of you or something like that, but a little more mundane. Surprises like who's related to who in the town of Gideon Falls, and what secret past the sheriff's been hiding all this time, as well as Doc Sutton. So Again, a great character piece. The characters react very accurately, I'll say. And this is one of those books that I feel like, okay, so this is why the comic medium exists. It's to tell great stories like this that you... There's just not another genre that mixes as much, you know, graphic pictures and detail and everything with words. It just doesn't exist. Sequential storytelling comics are the best outlet for that. And this is a story that shows that it's the perfect marriage for those. I also want to mention the art by Andrea Sorrentino. I've mentioned all along that he seemingly effortlessly makes this art look so easy. And I know there's no way it possibly can be, but there's one page that has like 12 or 13 panels, and just the storytelling from panel to panel, you would think it would be kind of choppy the way that he does it, but instead it makes perfect sense. It divides the scenes up, it gives narrative, and it gives a sense of movement and forward momentum. So movement within the panels of the characters, but also movement of the story, forward momentum for the story, and it really kind of gets it kicked back off. So again, if you're not reading this title, I mean, what the heck are you doing reading comics? This is titles like this are exactly why comics exist. It's absolutely spectacular. Easy pick for book of the week. All right, next up, I'm going to talk about Skyward number 4. This is another book that I've really been enjoying. I'll give the creative team really quickly. It's written by Joe Henderson. We've got the pencils by, the art by Lee Garbett, colors by Antonio Fabella, and letters by Simon Boland. So this is my Low-G Life Part 4, continuing to tell the story of Willa, a young woman who grew up on a planet, a version of planet Earth with very low gravity, only 10% of normal gravity. Her father apparently knows what happened on G-Day, as they call it, and what Willa learned last issue was that maybe he had the ability to fix it. Things are not as cut and dry as they seem. So I was kind of worried. Like, I love this series, and based on the pacing and the forward trajectory, I was like, oh, this thing's going to be done in like 4 to 6 issues, right? And I was going to be disappointed because, like I said, I do love the series so much. But Henderson has kind of pulled back from that fast paced, and we've gotten some really interesting issues where Lee Garbett's getting to kind of show his skills. I mean, really, he just based on the universe that these guys have created, Lee's able to really showcase his skills. But by pulling back and slowing down and kind of cutting back on the fast pace kind of tone they set early on, it's giving this story more room to breathe. I feel like we have a lot fewer panels now with words. And so, again, it's all to help showcase the art, which in turn services the story because, you know, it's eye-catching art is going to pull more readers in, and it's going to make more readers go and tell their friends about the book. So we increase the circulation numbers that way. So again, I want to talk in more detail about it, but I want you all to read it for yourself. I don't want it to be ruined. I am planning on talking to Joe Henderson at San Diego Comic-Con about the reaction of readers to Skyward so far. So be sure and keep your ears open for that one. It should be coming out probably sometime next week. All right, the last book I'm going to talk about is Ninja K or Ninjak number 9. Written by Christos Gage. We've got art by Juan Jose Reap. And let's see, it's the rest of the creative team here. Yeah, we've got Jordi Belair on colors and then Dave Lamphere on letters. So this wraps up this story arc, and I didn't enjoy it as much as the first story arc on Ninja K. That's kind of for exactly the reasons I expected. To me, Ninjak is a solo character, and seeing him interact with other characters, I just don't find it to be that interesting unless he's kind of cracking wise to the bad guys as he destroys them. But it just didn't do it for me. It just felt like nothing really that special. And I feel like I was kind of biding my time for when the story was going to be over. I'm making it sound like it's terrible. It's not. It's not at all. It's just that things aren't necessarily tied up in a nice, neat bow. We're probably going to see some future stories spin out of things that happened in this this Ninja K9 title. But I don't know. I just felt like it was kind of missing something. It had a real spark to it the first couple issues of the miniseries that I really enjoyed, and I just feel like that was kind of lost in this last issue a little bit. So I'm not sure what happened. The book is still amazing. Ninja K is still probably the best book Valiant's putting out these days. It's an awesome book for sure. And the art by Juan Jose Reap, I know his style, some people don't like it because it's hyper detailed. And a lot of times he does all his shading with dots, but again, an incredible storyteller. And somebody who deserves a bit more visibility in the industry, I feel. All right, let me give the... Wait, is that it? Is that the last book? Yes, that is the last book. So, as I said, short and sweet. I'll go ahead and give the rundown for other books you can be on the lookout for today as I release this. From Aftershock Comics, we have Clan Killers number 1 from Sean Lewis. And you can go and do a search for Sean Lewis on the comicsourceblog.com, and his podcast that he did will show up. And if you want to learn more about what it's all about, you can definitely go listen to that. That was a really cool chat with Sean, and it's not too long. So, and I should mention the art's by Antonio Fuso. All right. Also from Aftershock, we've got Lost City Explorers number 2 from writer Zach Kaplan. Much like with Skyward, I'm hoping to sit down with the author of this book. That's Zach Kaplan at San Diego Comic-Con. So look for some more details on that coming up soon, probably on Aftershock Monday. But in the meantime, this last Aftershock Monday, I did talk a little bit about Lost City Explorers number 2. It's all spoiler-free, so hope you had a chance to check that out. Over at Aspen, there's an all-new Soulfire number 1. It's Soulfire Volume 7 number 1. Let's see, Dark Horse, we've got the Department H Volume 4 A Lifeboat hardcover, as well as some Buffy the Vampire Slayer omnibuses or hardcovers for sale. At DC, we've got Batman number 51. I wanted to read that and talk about that, but again, I just didn't have time. Just to see if what are going to be the effects. Like, what's Tom King going to show Bruce doing to let us know that having Catwoman not show up at the altar really bothered him. Also out this Wednesday, Damage number 7 from Robert Venditti. Another one I really want to read and just haven't had time for yet. Let's see. Also from DC, we've got Justice League number 4. That's a huge one. I really, really need to read that one, as well as Wildstorm number 15. Those are all really, really great books. I wish that I had a driver who could drive me to San Diego Comic-Con so that I could just read comics the whole time. That would be amazing. So, c'est la vie. First world problems, right? Anyway, over at IDW, a In addition to the aforementioned Euthanauts number one, we've also got My Little Pony, Ponyville Mysteries number three, as well as a new Star Trek The Next Generation series called Terra Incognito. I don't know, Earth Hidden? Yeah, you got me. So let's see, at Image, we've got Analog number four from Jerry Dugan. We've got Aphrodite 5 number one from Top Cow. We'll be talking about that on Top Cow Thursday coming up. We've got Flavor number three. I know Manny's a big fan of that. We've got The Gideon Falls number five. I mentioned my book of the week. And we've got Versus number five. And also The Skyward number four that I mentioned before. Over at Marvel, the big book of the week is Life of Captain Marvel number one, with about eight or nine different variant covers. We also have the third issue of Immortal Hulk, as well as the fifth issue of Infinity Countdown. I think that's it for Marvel. Yep. And finally, over at Valiant, we've got the Ninja K number nine that I talked about, as well as Quantum and Woody number six. So hope that you all get out to your local comic book shop today, support them, and pick up some books. And be sure you're following along with our convention coverage from San Diego. Meanwhile, I want to thank everyone for listening, as always. Please tell your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, whatever platform you use. The ratings really help boost our visibility and increase our ability to reach out to new listeners, especially five-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available there, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, you can check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. And speaking of conventions, be sure you're following our Instagram account this weekend. Manny and I will have tons of pictures from San Diego Comic-Con, and you don't want to miss out on any of the coverage. If you're going to be there, definitely hit us up on social media. We'd love to meet up with you, take a picture, find out what you like or don't like about the show, as well as oh my god, I totally blinked. As well as hooking you up with a free lanyard. Did I mention that already? Okay. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode. As always, I want to thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.